is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a rainy Friday, April 12th, 2024. Michael, Don, Peter with you, taking you into the weekend. A lot of good stuff. We'll talk to Doc Gooden at 4 o'clock. Our good friend Bob Wischusen at 4:30. We'll talk with each other and with you for the rest of the show. How's everybody doing, Don? Are you planning a great weekend?
I am planning a nice weekend. Like, yeah? I told you, we're going to see Bluey on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, I got pre and post tomorrow afternoon for what is now developing into a very big Ranger Islander game. And Marco's got a baseball game. It's going to be great. He's catching now.
Oh, now that's a lot different than what Peter yesterday finally came to the realization, although we've been kind of hinting at it for the many, many years that we've known him. He's not a good-looking guy, and that was accentuated yesterday at the Bad Bunny concert.
Well, not only was it accentuated that I'm not a good-looking guy, it was unfortunate to realize that I was not only among the least attractive, but least intelligent.
What? Least intelligent?
That's right. Because Don, you're going to really feel me on this. Like, listen, I speak a decent Portuguese, okay? Relative to you two jabronis, I'm pretty good with another language.
Si.
But I was in a room of 19,000 bilingual people, and I'm the only one, Don, who offers nothing.
Well, don't be so down on yourself.
You should be
embarrassed. I didn't know a word this little bunny was saying. And when I tell you this was they should rename the Bad Bunny tour a collection of the most beautiful people on planet Earth. Because that's what's happening.
Not just women, men, too.
I'll be honest, Michael. I didn't see many men. No. I don't even know. They just weren't there. And I sort of believe that if you were of a certain level of attractiveness, it was like sort of like an Elmer Fudd Bugs Bunny situation. They'd run you into another door and you just fall off a cliff and disappear.
So Natalie was your hall pass.
They allowed me to walk in with her.
Right, right.
If you're not with an attractive person, though, they're funneling you somewhere else.
So, yeah, this would have been Night at the Roxbury for you if it had not been that your wife is attractive.
Correct. But no, he puts on a great show. It was the action, like the fire and pyro and staging, and I didn't understand a word that was being said. I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad you had a good time and realized that you're not good looking. Everything was encompassed in this thing.
And I'm back at it tonight. I'm very social this week. I'm going to see my friend Hasan Minhaj tonight.
And where's that?
That is at Radio City Music Hall.
So Peter will be there early signing autographs right across street at the MLB store.
How'd you know that?
I know. I know you're always looking for an opportunity.
I'm bringing my Allen and Ginter baseball card, and I'm going to be signing at the MLB store. That is right.
Have you ever been in that MLB store?
Oh, yeah.
I have not.
It's terrific. Yeah. Wow.
Hell of a store.
It's beautiful. Really something else. I walked in there one day and I was going to buy stuff.
I know where this is going.
Exorbitantly priced.
I knew it.
And I said, I wonder if my MLB press card will get me, but I didn't have it with me. But I'll find out. I'm not paying that.
You didn't say, excuse me, Michael K. voice of the Yankees. Excuse me.
You know,
me,
I walked here because we're all being honest. It's a Friday. I walked around four times to have somebody recognize me.
Oh, you tried. You tried.
No, I cleared my throat. I faked talking on the phone so they could hear my voice. Nothing.
I was going to say, as people were leaving, you were going, see ya.
See ya.
And see ya, hoping that somebody would recognize the voice.
And then I thought, you know what? They hire people to work at the store that have no idea about baseball, which just doesn't make sense. You should at least be a baseball fan to work in the MLB store. Just saying.
That is something I've noticed at all those stores. It's like a small thing that drives me nuts. I get it. You just got to get people to do the job. But something that's sort of niche like that, wouldn't it make a big difference to just have someone who knows the game a little bit, who can be like, oh, you know what's really cool? Yeah, everybody has a Judge jersey. Did you know back here we have a Volpe jersey? Like, wouldn't it be nice to have a little bit of something?
Right.
Yeah, you don't want the jersey with the name on the back. That's not the real jersey.
Oh, my God. I forgot to bring this up.
Tell me. Tell us.
You guys may make an excuse for it because of the situation, but I'm sorry. The other day, the Yankees presented Damian Priest with a jersey with Priest written on the back. Why?
Because, see, now I can make an excuse for that.
Because he's
there is no
for him.
Priest on the Yankees.
Right, okay.
If they presented him with a Judge jersey, with Judge, or Soto with Soto, then I'd have a little bit of a kick coming. But this is your jersey, Damian.
Yeah, I don't know what you do about it, Peter.
It's fine, but you know, for a fan like him, he probably cringed a little, like, I'm not wearing something with a name on the back. Thank you. I'll put this in my he's going to save it because it was a gift from the Yankees.
Trophy case or something.
Yeah, that's a trophy case thing.
Yeah.
Fair. But they should just rule it out.
I thought you were a Yankee fan, Peter. Don't be jumping on the Yankees for no reason.
The kind of fan that I am.
Honest fan.
I'm an honest fan, and I'm critical of the things that we need to be critical about. So let's just do a better job.
Wow. All right, so let's talk about the New York Knicks. Let's not read that much into what they did against the Celtics yesterday, but let's not read nothing into it, if that makes sense. Because they won by 9 points. They really won by 25. Because the starters were out of the game in the fourth quarter. Brunson would have dropped 50 if he played his normal amount of minutes. He had 39 points. So he's been on an unbelievable tear. And if you watch the beginning of the game, the first quarter, they were trying to guard Brunson. They were trying different people on Brunson. They were trying different defenses on Brunson. Probably in Mazzulla's mind, if we see them down the line, I want to see how we could stop this guy.
Right.
Here's the dirty little secret. They couldn't stop him yesterday, even when they were trying. Now, in the second quarter, when the Knicks went off on that run, the Celtics kind of cashed in their chips, and I don't blame them at all. There's nothing to play for. Why get anybody hurt? Even Thibodeau took his starters out in the fourth quarter. Why get anybody hurt? The game was already sewn up. But there's one thing that I've come to the conclusion of over the last week, guys. I didn't tell you on the pre-show, but I want to tell you now. Because I'm going to take back something that I said about a month ago, or when the news about Randall came out. I think this team could go to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they can. I think the record with Anunoby playing is 18-3. And he plays great. He actually blocked a shot by 7'2" Kristaps Porzingis. So Brunson's going to score you the points. Anunoby can score 20, and he could stop somebody from scoring their average as well. They're good, man. They could get to these. And I was talking to a basketball guy today, a really high-ranking basketball guy. And I said, do they have a chance to beat the Celtics? He goes, they have a chance. I'm not going to say they will, but they definitely have a chance. It's not like it's no chance.
But I wouldn't base it on last night. And again, I understand they played their starters, and I'm not trying to take anything away from what the Knicks accomplished. But the analogy that I'll give you, I updated the one that we had in the meeting, Peter, to a better one.
All right.
It's like a pickup basketball game, and it's out of, like, remember the cable guy?
Yeah.
When you show up to the pickup basketball game, you're just looking to just have fun. That's what the Celtics are doing, right? They've wrapped everything up. They've got the number one seed. Everything is going to go through Boston. But they got a game to play, and they want to play their starters. They want to keep it on the up and up. But they also realize, hey, we're not going to kill ourselves here. And it's cable guy. And the Knicks show up to the pickup basketball game with the mouth guard,
Jim Carrey,
the headband. Yep. They're doing stretches before, like you know, we're good.
Yeah, don't want to pull a hammy.
You're taking it far too seriously for us. We're going to tap out. And I know I'm sounding disrespectful to the Knicks. And, you know, I'm on board with you, Michael. I think that, you know, this team is special. This team is going to be fun. But I'm not going to base it off what happened last night. Even if you play the guys, the Celtics, I don't know how engaged they're going to be. We know the Knicks are good. And we know the Knicks are fun. And the Knicks have a chance against anybody. But I wouldn't read into what happened last night. Because I just don't think the Celtics really are going to care. And the thing about the Knicks is every time they play, they care. They come full bore every single time. And that's what makes matchups like that so much fun for the Knicks, because they're going to win a game like that because they don't take anybody lightly and they don't take anything for granted.
But I mean, I want to be clear here. I love this Knicks team. I think they have a lot of potential. You have every right, and you should be an excited Knicks fan for what could be a really interesting playoff run in a pretty open conference, with the exception of the team they played last night. But, like, you know, I'm reading tweets from people and receiving texts from people. Ballard just texted me. Celtics can't and won't beat the Knicks. They won 4 out of 5 this season. I get it. The Knicks are a really good team, and the Celtics are in a weird spot now where they've wrapped up the entire NBA, and I know the entire league is just waiting for the Celtics to lose. That's all there is to do, Don, right, when you've been this good all year long. I get it. The whole league is just waiting for them to flop. But what are they supposed to do? You run your starters out. You play them. The Knicks win by being scrappy. You want the Celtics to play a scrappy, meaningless game against a team where every win counts? I just don't understand what the logic would be. I mean, before this game happened, I've been saying on my ads for FanDuel I wouldn't pick the Celtics last night. It was not a spot for them to go that hard in. And I'm not saying the Knicks can't beat them in a series. I'm not saying that's impossible. But, Michael, to act as if, like, oh, this Celtics team, they just can't beat the Knicks. What are we talking about here?
Well, first of all, when did Ballard start day drinking? That's a little bit concerning. Second of all, I'm not saying it off the yesterday's game. I said that right at the start. The body of their work when Anunoby is in the game, and the fact that even when the Celtics were trying, they couldn't stop Brunson. I think they could beat anybody, but I'm still shocked. Agreed. The game was on TNT yesterday, and Barkley and Shaq said that they thought the Pacers were going to beat the Knicks in the playoffs, because if it ends now, it would be the Knicks finishing the third spot, then they'd face the Pacers. They don't get respect.
Yeah,
they don't get respect. I don't understand it. And I understand losing Julius Randle is a load. That's 25-10, but they have picked. They've won games without him.
Yeah, I don't understand. And these guys know their game, so it's not like they're ignoring the Knicks. Knicks have been on national television a ton. They played on TNT a ton. But if you're a Knicks fan, I would be happy. Nobody pick me. I want to be disrespected. Then wouldn't you feel funny if everybody was picking the Knicks to win it all? Then you'd be like, oh, maybe they're going to come in, with reading their press clippings. This team feeds off of disrespect. They've got a coach that whips them in the shape. I would think they'd use that as motivation. Let everybody pick against them. I'd rather that than everybody picking me to win.
Was OG around when the Celtics beat the Knicks in late February?
I think he was out. Yeah, I think he was out.
That was when he was already out by late February?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to keep track of the timeline.
What was the deal?
The deal was before the new year, and then he helped them go, 14-2 in January? They're 18-3 with him, so 14-2 in January. So since then, they're 4-1. So he's only played 5 games, I guess. He played 2 games when he got back. Then he got hurt, and now he's played 3 games.
I mean, Ballard's just trolling me. They didn't just lose. They lost by 20. They got embarrassed. Ballard, embarrassed in front of who? What Celtics fan showed up last night going, oh, I'm ready for the game. Let's get ready. Big Celtics win.
It was 9 points they won by. What's he talking about?
Well, no, they were down by 20.
Oh, well, okay, but that's not how they keep scoring the NBA.
Well, and by the way, that's literally every game throughout the season. The Celtics had an embarrassing loss a few weeks ago when they were up 25 and lost. Okay, that was embarrassing. They hadn't wrapped everything up. If you were a Celtics fan yesterday and you walked out of that game with your head down, upset because your team with the best record in the league lost by 9 to a team that's still trying to get every win they can, I don't know. I guess you could be embarrassed if you're weird and have no sense of what matters.
Now, the Knicks have, at this point, a 65% chance at the 3 seed. The Pacers are the most likely to get the 6th seed at 45%. The 76ers have the next highest odds at 25%. So the Knicks are a game behind the Bucks for the 2nd seed. But unfortunately, they have to win both games and the Bucks have to lose both games, which is possible. Because if they win both games and the Bucks lose one, the Bucks have the tiebreaker. So, again, as I've said, I don't think that you aim this way. I think the Knicks play to win every game the rest of the way, the Nets tonight, and then their final game on Sunday. But what you do is the best thing, I think, for the Knicks is to avoid the 2nd seed, because I think that could get messy. Although there's a chance that, you know, the Sixers end up with the 6th seed, and the Knicks have to play them anyway. But if the Knicks finish 2nd or 3rd, that means that they do avoid the Celtics until the finals. The conference finals.
That's what you want to try to have happen. I do believe that the Knicks have a chance against anybody. But the one team that I would say that I'd be surprised if they won would be the Celtics. Everybody else, the Bucks have been a mess since Doc took over. I think they can beat the Pacers. I think they can beat the Magic. You know, the Heat and the Sixers are screwy because you got a healthy and rested Embiid, and Miami's Miami. But I would not be shocked if they won those series or be surprised. But the Celtics, I think, you know, there's a reason why they've clinched so early. They're a 60-plus win team.
They're
the best
team
in the NBA.
Great team. Peter, I come to you for explanations on things, but I'm a little confused.
Well, I'm not the brightest, but I'll do the best I can.
So it came out today that everybody that visited O.J. Simpson in the last week of his life,
he knew
he was dying. Even his kids, relatives, and his children, any visitor that came to his bedside had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. I mean, are you kidding me?
It's not what you want.
Well, why? What are we talking about?
Is it possible he fears pictures being released?
Yeah, everybody had to check their phone, too, before they came in the room.
Yeah, you don't have to sign a non-disclosure to check your phone. But what did he say to them?
No, what did he say? Maybe it happened.
Maybe he had a bedside confession.
Well, that would have to be it, right?
No, it's not the only thing. I mean,
well, unless he's telling us about other people he might have killed. I mean, what? He's obviously going to be saying something he didn't want to get out.
And maybe Peter's also the. Although, I mean, Elvis got photographed in his coffin. I'm sure that some
right.
People,
it's on the table. Like, I mean, if 50 different family members came, it is on the table that someone could do something really low life.
Right, you probably get like $100,000 for that picture.
So, I mean, I don't know. Don't you think if he did it, people know? If he's told anyone he already did?
I don't know. I don't think you could tell your kids I killed your mom.
Well, let me ask you this.
I mean, he did write a book called
If I Did It. Did you
see
the front page today? They went full post. The real killer is dead.
Is that what they said?
The real killer is dead.
Now, how about this? Maybe he had no intention of giving any kind of confession. But was he paranoid that because of whatever medication he was on, in the state that he was in, that maybe involuntarily he may give information that he didn't want the family to release?
But when somebody dies, right, who's enforcing the non-disclosure? Because the woman from USC, right, I don't know if you read this, came out and said that, you know, before the trial began, Kardashian and Shapiro went to the USC president and had removed a complaint against OJ when he was a student at USA that he abused and supposedly raped a woman. And the secretary who was there and heard it had to sign a non-disclosure. And she said, well, now he's dead, I'm going to tell the truth. Imagine if that had ever gotten out. Maybe people would have been saved. Maybe Nicole would have been saved. Maybe he wouldn't have had a job at NBC or the spokesperson at Hertz or the guy in Naked Gun. Who knows? But it was covered up. I always wonder about this. This is getting really deep in the weeds. And if you're a lawyer, you could call up. Dershowitz came out today and said, you know what? If the Goldman families or Nicole's families had called me first, I would have represented them. A lawyer will represent a client even if they know he's a murderer. I'm not saying that this is the case, but, you know, civil suit said he's a murderer. But if you know somebody's a murderer and they want to hire you, still do it? How do you sleep at night?
I mean, it's kind of what your job is.
Yeah, but why? Do you have you have to
I think
represent
they prefer,
a killer?
I think, well, because everyone has a right to a defense.
Right.
But you don't have to be the one to do it.
Well, I guess that's why I think a lot of times they'd not want to know if you, in fact, did it.
Well, they're not morons. I think, you know, with all the circumstantial evidence, it certainly seemed like he did it.
Well, didn't that happen with Ron Kuby? Colin Ferguson wanted to hire him, and he said, listen, as long as you plead insanity, I'll defend you. But if you want to plead innocence, I can't defend you.
Right.
So I guess certain lawyers have the choice. I mean, if you're a public defender,
then
you have no choice. But you could talk about, Peter, the ethics of it. Well, if you have a private practice, you do what you want. I would think
true.
If you don't want to take the case, you don't take the case.
If you really think the person's guilty.
They would have called me first. I would have taken that. I mean, really, what's the code of ethics there?
There is no code of ethics there.
Well, he just went in and just like, I don't know what happened. You think you're innocent? All right, I'll prove you're innocent. Then if they want to hire me and say they think OJ did, all right, then you can hire me. I don't know if he really took the deep dive into whether he did it or not until he got hired. Then he had to make the decision whether he did it or not.
The big OJ truther thing moving around these days is that it was his son who did it.
Right. I was reading a lot of that yesterday.
That's a big thing. And that the son had all kinds of problems, you know, had actually attempted to kill someone before.
And was very good with knives because he was a chef.
Was a chef and hated Nicole. And that OJ, the reason OJ still has the relationship with the kids is like he basically took the rap for the kid.
Yeah, somebody prove that to me.
They're all, and then the other one is that it was a cartel, and that's why the killing was as brutal as it was, is because it was a cartel killing.
Yeah, one of the defenses against OJ is that he was arthritic. How could he have done that? But
well, I will say this. Listen, I believe OJ is guilty. I'm not going to go down the path of OJ being innocent. I don't think he is. But I will say, when you describe how brutal the murders were, not that it was just like a lot of stab wounds, but like their heads were almost removed.
Right.
It does almost go from like enraged, scorned lover to something else. Do you know what I'm saying? That does, like, as crazy as the man must have been, and if you're this crazed, scorned, angry, bitter lover, I still would think that going to that degree, it seems almost unheard of.
The other thing that has gotten batted around is, did he have CTE?
But no other signs prior really?
It didn't seem. It seemed like everybody, because we've seen crazy things happen to, you know, former football players and people that have had CTE, where they committed suicide, things that, awful, terrible things that they've done, but it didn't seem like there were any symptoms before or after. So, hey, if you think he's innocent, then you're going to have to tell me who, somebody did it.
Well, in the book, If I Did It, he said that there was somebody else with him in the book.
What do you mean? Somebody else
somebody
that night?
Drove there with him, and he called the guy Carlos, I think was the name. So that was the If I Did It.
So that would sort of maybe play to that like the cartel did it and he had to watch it?
I don't know. Well, why would he be involved with a cartel? By the way, I did clear up something from yesterday's show.
Okay.
So Bob Costas was on CNN and said that OJ was calling him during the NBA final game. And I had said that my friend Kevin Smolin, that he was calling Kevin. So I called up Kevin on the ride home yesterday.
Oh, I'll get to the bottom of this
thing. Kevin said, well, he called up different times. He called up for me. He called up for Ahmad Rashad, and he called up for Bob.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So there were there were calls where he asked for all three.
But why didn't nobody put him through?
Because it was some hack that was running the switchboard.
The same hack?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They're on the air. Oh, they're in
poor
the
word choice, by the way. But yeah, wow.
And so they also thought it was a goof.
Well, I could see that, but I think after a series of phone calls, wouldn't you, all right, investigate this a little further?
Now, if you were the person who called, right, and you've got the Bronco chase on the TV, say, if this is really you, wave out the window.
Yeah, flash your high beam, something.
Yeah, something like that. So that's the story. So Bob was telling the truth, Kevin was telling the truth. I haven't spoken to Ahmad Rashad, but he asked for all three of them and was shot down on each of them. So how does the world change if he actually spoke to them? Does he confess on the air?
Probably not. Probably nothing changes. But a really good, I mean, except for some really good ratings.
Yeah, I don't think the ratings are going to get much better. I mean, they had a car chase of a famous person and the NBA Finals.
Yeah, but if he's on the phone with NBC, I think everybody would be flipping there.
True.
To hear the conversation.
All right, we've got a lot more to talk about. We're going to really cover the Rangers and the Islanders situation because they're playing tomorrow. We'll have Bob with Susan on at 4 o'clock. Yankees have already been rained out. Sorry, everybody. They'll play a day-night doubleheader tomorrow. We're waiting on the Mets. Where I am, it's raining. Where Don said he is, it's sunny. The
sun's out.
What is it in Manhattan, Peter?
It looks like it's getting better. It was really bad a couple hours ago. It looks like it's clearing up.
All right, good. So maybe we'll get a Met game tonight. So a lot of stuff to do. Do it with us. We lead you into the weekend. Big 4 o'clock hour with Doc Gooden. And with Bob Wischusen, it's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. But first, Don wants to tell you about pain.
Yes.
You love pain.
He just doesn't. He wants to process it first.
I
want to process the pain. Just give me a second.
Take your time, Don.
No, listen, I don't want to have to take my time. I want to be able to do this as professionally as possible.
Well, that ship has sailed.
Well, I don't know. I don't. I wouldn't say that.
I would.
No, because I haven't
what about
stammered
now?
Or stumbled or anything.
Right.
And now I can tell you, friends, go see Dr. Jay Shah. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, nerve, or any of that pain slow you down. doing all the things that you love. It is time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call our friend Dr. Jay Shah today at Samuel Payne. Dr. Jay Shah treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, and nerve pain. Dr. Shah is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shah to take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without pain medications. Enjoy life pain-free. Same day and next day appointments available. Go to SamuelPayne.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah. Go to SamuelPayne.com, regain your active lifestyle, enjoy all of your favorite activities pain-free. Samuel Payne now has three convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SamuelPayne.com. You will wish you met Dr. Shah sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. The Knicks are back in action at the Garden. Take on the Nets with coverage at 7 right here on 98.7. The Yankees and the Cleveland Guardians are rained out. They'll have a day-night doubleheader tomorrow. The Mets are back home against the Royals at 7:10. So there you have it. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish Whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. So before we get to your phone calls, the whole Ohtani story fascinates me. So at 4 o'clock today, Ippi Iwamura is going to appear before a federal judge. And I guess they will formally charge him. I guess from what we're reading, you know, he stole $16 million from Ohtani. So because I was curious, I made a phone call to a pretty prominent banker. I'll leave it at that. And he told me that within the banking industry, people are scratching their head about how this could have happened. It just doesn't make sense to anybody. Like he said, any transaction over $5,000 has to be vetted. They have to call you. They ask you security questions and things like that. And it's to the point that their wealthy clients that, you know, have to spend $1 million on this or $100,000 on that, they get annoyed that there are so many hoops to jump through in order to okay the transaction. Because if you transact something that's not legal, that's not exactly vetted by the person who's quote-unquote paying, then the bank is responsible. So, I mean, did Iwamura completely just, I mean, did he overtake Shohei's life? Did he have all the security questions? Did he do everything that, again, either the bank or Shohei's financial people, they should all be fired. There's $16 million being moved out of your account, and it never gets to Shohei Ohtani. It's inconceivable to people in the banking business that this could have happened.
So how did it happen?
I think the best case scenario for Ohtani is that he didn't bet, but he funded his friend's addiction. Because there's just no way that you could take that kind of money without him knowing. Is he that much of a rube?
I guess he's a rube. I mean, isn't that the worst thing? You're either guilty or a complete rube.
But even that doesn't make any sense, because it was he in charge of his entire life. He had no accountants. He had no one else in his life except Epi. That's it.
It seems like that, Don.
Because
it seems like that.
You know, because I've got Nancy. I've got an accountant. I mean, if anybody was siphoning money from me, there would be a few red flags. There'd be some people that would notice, even if I'm oblivious, which I am, because I trust people. I trust my wife. And he must have trusted Epi. But there still should have been. When you're talking about that kind of money, Peter, there has to be other layers that would notice.
That's what I'm saying.
Boy, there's quite a bit of money out of here. So for him, and maybe that was the arrangement. Listen, I'm going to fund this for you. All right, I'm going to take care of you so you don't get your legs broken or worse. But I'm telling you, if this ever comes to roost, man, you're taking the fall. Was that the agreement?
You must really have an unbelievable relationship with somebody to fund them to the tune of $16 million.
I don't know how close people can get under different circumstances, but if they were as close as you suggested, Michael, where they were, he'd warm them up before games.
Don, they practically lived with each other, so they were with each other 20. He didn't notice the guy making 19,000 bets?
So he could not. Oh, no, of course he did. So the question is, did he fund it? Was he responsible for making these bets? He probably knew that his buddy had a problem. And he knew that if he didn't pay off the gamblers, he'd be in trouble. If anybody found out, he'd be in trouble. He didn't want to lose him, Michael. He didn't want him out of his life. So he probably funded it the way you would fund if your wife had a problem. I don't want to lose you, so I'm going to take care of you. But just know that if this comes out, I'm not involved. You stole from me.
Yeah, and then he's not a rube. To have engineered this, and listen, if this comes out, you're going to jail. He's not a rube.
No, he's not. No, if I'm suggesting he funded his friend's gambling habit, then he's not a rube. And he wasn't stolen from. He was just trying to protect his buddy. And he got so much in debt, he realized, if I don't pay this guy off, these gamblers are going to break his legs or worse, or this is going to get out and he's going to lose his job with the Dodgers and I'm going to lose my best buddy. So I'm going to fund this so we can keep it all fine. But just so you know, a couple of things. I'll fund your betting. I will pay your debts. Just two things. One, don't bet on baseball. And two, if you get caught, you're taking a fall. Because I am not going to admit I funded this. I'm going to say that you stole from me.
Now, can I ask you guys a question, though?
Yeah. Yes.
The losses, the obscene amount of losses, $40 million or whatever it was?
$40 million in losses.
Over what period did that happen?
Two or three years.
But so how does that keep going? That's what I'm trying. How does that keep going? I don't get it.
What do you mean? How does it keep you? He was an addict.
Like, okay, when he's down $5 million, there's no communication. If on some level Shohei's involved in this, he doesn't know anything about what's happening. It's just like none of it makes sense to me.
None of it makes sense. That's the thing that makes sense, is that none of it makes sense. I mean, you really can't make any kind of normal conclusions out of this. The guy's either complete dunce. Or naive to a point, like, you know, almost like a savant, or he's complicit in it. So I guess you choose, you know, either a dunce or naive. But $16 million, again, if he is totally in the dark about this, then everything falls on his people, his accountants, his bankers. They should all be fired.
Does he have these people?
He's got an agent. Shouldn't they be taking care of stuff like this? Hey, $16 million. And Peter, $40 million losses. But there was like $110 million in wins. $110 million in wins. And $150 million in losses. So it comes out. So, I mean, look at the money changing hands. And the weird part is, where's the $40 million? Where's the $110 million that he made? Because he did not deposit that back into Ohtani's account. He put it somewhere else. So does he have $110 million somewhere?
It's insane.
The whole thing really stinks.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal. So again, a banker who does this for a living told me, we don't understand how this happened. I mean, did he have a ma and pa shop? Some small bank? Some small bank doesn't handle $16 million. And you can't imagine a big bank being this inept. Oh my, what was that?
Well, that was hit the wrong key on my computer, and a little big pun started playing. You know, I hit the play button on my keyboard.
Let's go to Spike.
And Spike?
Pete to start it off. Spike.
Hey, boys, have a good weekend. Been a great week of shows. One thing on the Ohtani thing, it sounds my father would have said the old-fashioned way. He must have some pictures of him in the vault. But complicity, I maybe his money laundering. That's another thing I was thinking of. Maybe he's money laundering, because I think one of you guys said something about 160 losses, 130. He wasn't. It's very hard to pick losers constantly, too. Otherwise, you change your bet the other way. So I don't know what it is, but something smells there, rotten in Denmark. Just on the basketball last night, overreaction to the Celtics, and I shut off TNT. I don't need to hear that, because they're just trying to get eyeballs there. They're great. They're the best ever to do that, but... the Knicks are dogs. That's all I could tell you. They're dogs. I have a little
concern
about...
They got that dog in them. Sorry.
But they're playing. Listen, they were up 31 points. And if this was not into the playoffs, because they ended it like baseball ends it, boys, they're doing every game in the afternoon with time zones on Sunday. So because no one can figure out who's going to be where Sunday. It's a Rubik's Cube. But I'll leave you with this. And thanks for getting me up and my opinion. I appreciate that. It means a lot to me. I'm with you, Don. Sixers, Heat, and the Celtics, of course, are the ones you want to avoid. But the old saying is, you know, what you wish for, going back to, what was it, 88 or 86 with Hershiser, and the Mets won 11 out of 12. Remember that season?
88.
So, 88. Okay, so just play it out. Again, Michael, we talk about Josh Hart. You said to me 2 days ago, you said, I asked you, how does he come up with him? You said, because he plays hard. You can write a book about this guy, a textbook of what kind of player you want to put on that court. He's not the best player. He's not the strongest player. He's not the fastest player. But his name is what he gives you. He's all heart. And the only one I'm worried about looks a little off. Two guys look a little off on their game. Mitchell Robinson looks a little stale. Maybe he's got to play his way back. And Deuce is, you know, it could be the jitters, playoff jitters, but they opened up a can of you-know-what when they made the deal. Remember, they got DeVincenzo because of the money saved from Obi Toppin with two number two picks. You've got three guys that lead a top 10 or 20 in the league in deflections with OG, DeVincenzo, and Hart. They kill you on made baskets getting over the timeline. No, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch, and you know, and thank you for the phone call. Have a good weekend. And they play harder than the other team. And I always laugh about that. They wanted it more. The Knicks want it more than the other team. Most nights they want it more. Now, that should change in the playoffs. Because once you get in the playoffs, everybody's going to want it. One quick thing about tonight's game against the Nets. Hartenstein is out for Achilles maintenance. So they don't like to play him on back-to-back days, so he's out. Let's go to Ryan in Port Jefferson. Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, boys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good. If my service cuts out, so I'm calling from the delivery room in the hospital right now. My wife's about to have
twins.
Congratulations. Yeah. Wow, congrats, man. Good luck.
Thank you. Michael, I wanted to thank you for the ball you sent me. Really appreciate it. And for all you guys kind of giving me advice along the way. And then, you know, I'll keep you updated later on in the week. But a boy and a girl.
Wow. Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you. I know. I'm excited. But and also, she's a Fordham grad, Michael, so she wants to say go Rams really quick. No, she doesn't. She doesn't want to jump on the air. They're prepping the room for labor. But I just had a sports question to steer the conversation.
Can you zoom us from behind her head so we don't see anything that we shouldn't see? And we'll watch the delivery on the air. That would be good.
Yeah, it would be good TV.
Yeah.
Put it on, yes. But
yes.
Who do you think is going to go further in the playoff run, the Rangers or the Knicks? All three of you guys, if you don't mind, and then I'll hang up. But I really appreciate all you guys, you know, for everything. I've been listening for, you know, a really, really long time. You guys are the best, so thank you.
Good luck with the babies. That's a great question. You'd say the Rangers, they've had the better season, but the way they're playing right now, Don, is it the Rangers? Is it the Knicks? I guess if you force me to say it, I say the Rangers, but I don't know.
Well, the Rangers are going to be, you would think, a favorite in every, at least the first couple of rounds. Like, all right, well, at least the first round, they'll be a favorite against whoever it is. Second round, if it's the Hurricanes, it could end up being a toss-up. Now, with the Knicks, their first-round matchup, they might be a dog. Against Miami, Philadelphia, I don't know. Well, would Vegas have that series? I think the Rangers, if the Rangers don't make it at least to the, God, even if they made it to the conference final and lost, I think Ranger fans would be disappointed. You finish with the best record in the league, Michael, if that's what they finish with. Why shouldn't your expectations be championship? Is there any Knick fan out there, realistically, that is it championship or bust for the Knicks this year?
Well, I think the Knicks kind of, like, they get a pass this year because they don't have Julius. So I guess you're right. The disappointment would be lessened because you could say, well, if we had Julius.
They got a couple of games in a row that they had that didn't play well. But overall, I think the Rangers are going to go into the playoffs, I think, still with an excellent chance of winning a Stanley Cup. I can't put the Knicks' chances at excellent. But the caller makes an interesting point. It really depends on who you match up with. If I think the Knicks beat the Pacers. You?
Yep.
So then that gets you into the second round.
I'm going with that. I think Pacers is a tough series. They win. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
And that seems like right now the betting odds, they'll finish third and the Pacers finish sixth. So you would have them winning in the first round. Now, the second round, if you're playing as the three seed, you can end up playing the Bucks.
I think they can beat the Bucks.
They can beat the Bucks. Probably as much as you think the Rangers can beat the Hurricanes. So it really just depends on the matchups. But I think on the surface, you feel like the Rangers should be able to make a deeper run. They've got the pedigree for it, right? Just 2 years ago, they went to the conference final. They were a playoff team last year.
But let me ask something, Don.
Yes.
Do they have that dog in them?
Well, it depends on the day. But overall, not the last couple of games, but overall, they've had the dog.
We would agree that the Knicks got that dog in them.
Do any hockey teams have that dog in them, Don? I've never heard that expression for a hockey team.
Well, when I think of having dog in them, and maybe I'm misreading it, it's that you're not the most talented team, but your will and your effort and your physicality kind of win the day. I think the Rangers more of a finesse team than a dog team. Because I don't think the Knicks are the most talented team in the league.
No, but the parts fit perfectly.
Right. And they seem to have that dog because they come every night. We never question their effort. May not win, but they're always at it. So,
hey, I told you that my house needed a refresh.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do. So I chose the painting professionals at CertaPro Painters. They're working now, and CertaPro Painters treat my home with as much care as I would. That's how great they are. They've protected my floors and the carpeting on my staircase. Everything is clean and handled with care, including the scaffolding that they needed to use to reach everything. The precision and the attention to detail as they paint every spindle of the staircase, really exceptional. They take pride in what they do, and you could trust them to get the job done right. Now's the time to do the home painting project you've been putting off. Why wait? From now through April 30th, CertaPro Painters is running its spring sales event. Special offers are available at participating locations. Each CertaPro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They're a local business that you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at CertaPro.com. That's Certa with a C. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose CertaPro Painters. Michael K., I love when I get to talk about PC Richard & Son. They're local, family-owned, and they truly care about their customers. Right now at PC Richard & Son, save big on Samsung for your whole house. Samsung appliances up to 35% off. Select Samsung TVs and soundbars up to 35% off. Plus, get up $1,000 in additional savings when you combine two or more qualifying Samsung products. It's the Samsung Whole House event, only at our friends at PC Richard & Son.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, it is time for Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper. Jalen Brunson is the second player in Knicks history with 2,000 points and 500 assists in a season, joining Richie Guerin in 1961-62. Pretty impressive. That's Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper, a leading business advisory firm helping clients transform their companies, build capital, innovate processes, and mitigate risk. Make Eisner Amper part of your solution. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/solution. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go back to the calls. Joe in Somers. Joe.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good. What's up?
Got a few points. Just about the show in general. Then I have an Ohtani point. And then finally, I have a wrestling point. But just about the show in general, I did an informal kind of Twitter poll as to what people thought of each of your contributions to the success of the show.
Oh, boy.
And 234 people responded. And overall, they think, 60% of the success is Don, and the remaining 40% was kind of split between Peter and Michael. And just want to get your thoughts about that and what you guys think personally about that.
Couldn't agree more. Don is the driving force. I believe I'm more important than Peter, but, it sounds right.
Well, then we got a lot of – but that's – Michael's, kidding on the square, as they say, Dom. But if that's the case, then we need to talk salaries, name of show. A lot of things need to change.
Yeah, so. I don't think that 200-some-odd people are going to, really change that. But please go on.
Wait.
Oh, is he gone?
He's gone.
What happened to the points?
He had a laundry list of things.
He had a laundry list of points.
I didn't hang up on him.
Was that Jacob?
Somebody back in the studio did.
Jacob's got a hair trigger. You know this.
He does.
He's got a bad temper, too.
Unless it comes to playing the you got that dog in him drop, because I set him up for that about 19 times in the last segment. He did not want to give it to me. I was like, hey, he got that dog in him. That dog.
Nothing. Yeah, but you also have to know where to do stuff like that. You completely discombobulated Spike.
Yeah, that was a bad move by you.
It's just
don't feel bad for Spike.
No, I felt terrible for the guy.
He didn't know what was going on.
He bounced right back. He didn't fall apart.
Yeah, but there was a stutter and a stammer. I mean, you're ruining the flow when you do stuff like that with certain people.
You know, when I said it, I had a regret, so I'm not going to fight you. You're right.
Evan in Woodbridge, or Woodridge. What's
Michael,
up, Evan?
Michael, Don, Peter, what's going on? I'm a huge fan of the show. I'm admittedly not a Yankees fan. Okay. I listened to the podcast the next day, and I just got up to the part where Michael described Juan Soto working walks as, and this is a direct quote, scintillating. And Don, Peter, I don't know how you sat there and looked him in the face as he said that. I mean, working a walk? Come on, that's ridiculous. Hitting a home run, that's one thing, but working a walk?
But you take it from where it comes. This is a guy that didn't realize women were alive because he was knee-deep in box scores till he was 16, 17 years old. It makes sense for Michael to say.
But Evan, you're not a Yankee fan, right? Have you watched him work his walks? I mean, it's scintillating. I get goosebumps.
That's a you problem.
Well, you know what? It's me appreciating the inner workings of baseball. That's what it is.
You know what though? Listen, it's a strange take by Michael, but you could also find other sports talk hosts in this town who pretend and start screaming that Soto should already people should be breathing down his neck because he's taking too many walks.
Too many.
So I'd rather go with Michael, who's a baseball nerd who finds the joy in a walk, than someone being a performative Looney Tune and pretending like the guy's not playing great baseball just so people click on your little video. So I'm going to go with Michael.
Starting fights with people now, huh?
It's not starting a fight. I'm just saying. Don't leave me on an island here. It's a ridiculous take. You're doing it as a joke if you're pretending he's anything but great.
I was wondering about that, right? And I see a lot of people say, why would you say, even people in baseball answering, it's getting the attention he wants. And since it does get the attention he wants and we're in the get attention business, what's he doing wrong?
I mean, listen, it's a philosophy, right? I'd rather say things that you can actually believe and hold on to and defend, not just be that guy. Like, but no one gets embarrassed in sports talk radio when you're overtly being that guy.
No, I don't think that it's in this day and age, in 2024, I think embarrassment is out the window.
Well, that's what I love about our show. I love that when Don rants, every single thing Don's ever ranted about, you could go back and see what it was, and he would defend the point to this day. To the idea of acting as if you're really mad at Juan Soto 13 games into this magnificent season where he's been brilliant, you're just being silly and embarrassing yourself and being that guy. That's all.
And then the answer would be, well, how's it working out?
I don't know. Their answer is, I don't know. But I'll tell you this.
I'm not in his back pocket. I don't know.
Yeah, I had never been to his house, but I'll say this. It worked out decently for Tiger today. Sorry, Michael. He's making the cut. Finishes even for the day, 1-2. He had to, I don't know, you have a sponsor for this, Michael, since I just ran right into a scoreboard update?
No.
Tiger had a rough morning because he had to come back and finish round one early. It was cold and windy. But then he came back out, 10:45, played even for the day, and he's 8 strokes off to Shambo, who's still 7 under through 12 in the second
round.
So he
has no chance.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go as far as saying no chance, but I'd say we talked about the cut. He makes the cut yet again. His walk back right now looks a little bit labored. Like, you can see the hitch Tiger has.
Yeah, he has a patch on his back, and he was putting Icy Hot on it during the round.
Yeah, it's tough for him, man. The walking around for him is just tough. The cut line's 4-4. He finishes the second round 1-par.
Oh, good. That makes your weekend. We have Doc Gooden, who's going to have a great weekend. He's coming on in just a moment. Doc's going to have his number 16 retired at Citi Field on Sunday. Please tune in. We talk to our good friend Dwight Gooden in just a moment. But first, Peter's going to tell you about Bath Fitter.
Hey, guys. I am going to tell you about Bath Fitter. Thanks for bringing it up, Michael. Love Bath Fitter. They did my bath, did an incredible job, customized it for my needs, process easy, one expert installer, done in a day, no demo, no mess. Permanent high-quality solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers just like me, and for a limited time, you get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. So start designing your bath today like I did at bathfitterdesign.com. There's only one Bath Fitter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.